Now, why is administrative procedure so important? Most of us, when we're thinking about the legal system, think about the courts. Well, the courts are the final resort. And I'm going to be talking in more detail about Washington law today. Every state has its own applications and statutes, and you'll be able to parallel these if you go to your law library, find someone who's familiar with the way your state's laws are codified. You'll be able to find the exact parallels in your state law as well as in federal law. Since I'm based in Washington, we'll go ahead and use Washington law for today. One of the terms you'll hear me say from time to time is RCW. That stands for Revised Code of Washington, which is a restatement of many of the laws and kind of an indexing so that it makes it easy to find them. And this is where they take the statutes passed by the legislature and put them in an organized form so they're easy to find. You look at the Administrative Procedures Act for Washington, where it goes beyond all of the administrative procedures and it's time to go to court. And you'll find a section at RCW 3405586 called Defenses, Limitations On. What that tells you is that a respondent, such as yourself, responding to administrative process of some government agency, may not assert as a defense in a proceeding any fact or issue that the respondent had an opportunity to assert before the agency or a reviewing court and did not. That tells you that if you didn't raise the issue in those private proceedings before you got to court, you do not get to raise it in court. Now, I've been in court before I read this, before I understood it, and I heard a judge tell somebody, "Don't you dare raise the Constitution in my courtroom, or I will hold you in contempt." That shocked me. I thought for sure that judge was a criminal. And then I found out through my studies of administrative procedures that maybe he actually was following the law, and what he was trying to say is, if you don't bring me an administrative record where that issue was raised, I can't hear that. I'm prohibited by law from hearing that because you didn't raise that issue privately. Going hand in hand with that is the following section. It says judicial review of facts confined to the record. It says judicial review of disputed issues of fact must be confined to the agency record for judicial review. If you did not raise it administratively, the court can't hear it. Now, most of the time, a judge will politely listen to you and then make his decision based on this premise of law. And if you did not bring the documentation to show that that issue was raised in a prior administrative proceeding, he's going to politely listen and then pretend he didn't even hear that entire section of what you said. To give you a little bit of background about how important a piece of paper can be, there's some TV shows on, started several years ago with The People's Court, Judge Wapner, where he taught some basics of law while entertaining us. And then there's a very entertaining judge called Judge Judy. I like Judge Judy. First time I started seeing the show, I thought this is going to be a bunch of hogwash. However, they were having one of your typical he said, she said cases where a couple was splitting up and she claimed that he owed some money for something and was suing him to get that money. Judge Judy's opinion, after hearing them both explain their side of it, that she was a poor victim of this scumbag man that was just a woman abuser and user, and Judge Judy let it be known that she thought he was about the lowest thing that ever walked the earth. Well, in the middle of Judge Judy's ranting and raving about what a scumbag this guy was, he says, "But Your Honor, I have a receipt." And Judge Judy's entire court came to a grinding halt, and she says, "You have a receipt? Bailiff, you go get that and bring it up here." The bailiff brings it up. Judge Judy looks at it and says, "This sure looks like a receipt to me," and holds it up to the gal and says, "Does this look like a receipt to you?" And the gal says, "I guess so." Judge Judy just had an agreement between the parties that that was a receipt. Judge Judy says, "I need no more information. I'll be back with my decision in a moment." Judge Judy came back from the commercial break, said, "I've made my decision. I still think you're the lowest scumbag that ever walked the earth, mister, and I think she's a poor victim. But since you're the only one who brought me a piece of paper, I have to rule in your favor. I don't have a choice." Judge Judy taught an incredible amount of law in that right there. Says if you ever go to court, bring your evidence. Don't just go in and tell your story, because if the other party has evidence, they will win no matter what the judge thinks of him. Judge Judy teaches a lot of law. There are several others, Judge Joe Brown, Texas Justice, each of them teaches law so that we the people can learn. If you want to learn how to deal with a public official who may want to ask you questions, one of the best training tools I have ever seen is the videotapes of the 4 hours and 30 seconds of grand jury testimony of William Jefferson Clinton. By having that released to the public, he did more to train the American people on how to deal with government officials who want to interrogate you and find you guilty of something than any other training I have seen in my entire life. Well, how does administrative procedure work? Knowing the law is only half of it, as pointed out by our founding fathers. They said know the law and be well disposed to use it. How do you use the law? You have to understand, the law does not prevent crime. It merely identifies the crime or the wrongdoing and identifies the procedures on how to seek a remedy. If the law prevented crime, there would have never been a Ted Bundy running across the country, kidnapping, torturing, and killing young ladies. There would have never been a Green River Killer in Washington if the law prevented crime. The law is very clear. You cannot kidnap, torture, rape, and kill people. So we have to learn not only what the law is, but how to enforce it. Obtaining information from your potential adversary. With government, it's very, very easy. Federal government has the Freedom of Information Act and the Privacy Act, which covers how to obtain records that the government may hold relating to you or in a situation you're involved in. Various states call their similar acts different things. In Washington, it's called the Public Disclosure Act. What this really is the people's administrative subpoena power. It's a statutized procedure for you to demand that the government produce any records it has in relationship to you or something that you're involved with where you have a need to know. For the sake of the information that we're covering in this course, we're going to be referencing the Washington Administrative Procedures Act, and you can find your own parallels from the state and the federal statutes depending on what type of situation you may be involved in. They're all substantively identical. Substantively means all of the substance is the same, even if they put it in a different order, even if they use a little bit different words, it all means the same thing. In Washington, the Administrative Procedures Act is codified at RCW 34.05. And without getting into a boring recitation of all the different sections, I'd like to give you a bit of an outline of what it says the proper procedure is. We all have heard the term due process. We all know that the Constitution guarantees due process of law, equal protection of law. But how do we access this? And how do we do it in a manner that when we get to court, we are in control of the entire situation and we're not going to have a judge either tell us, don't raise the Constitution in my courtroom, or politely listen to us and then disregard everything we said and rule against us. These statutes tell the government and corporations and whoever else they may be applicable to what their rights are in due process. One of the very first ones on the books in Washington says that respondent officials and organizations have the due process right to waive any other exercisable right in the administrative proceeding. Isn't it nice that they can say, forget all this procedure, you're right, and let you win right there? They have that opportunity, they have that right. Next, it says they have the right to object to the procedure or forum that you set forth. If you send them a letter and say, this is how I want to resolve this, this is the procedures I want you to follow, they can come back and say, well, we have a statute that says we're authorized to do it this other way, and we want to have an administrative law judge make the decision rather than your friends. They have the statutory right to do that. We've granted it to them through our legislature. So they can object to the procedure you set forth, You may set forth, say, if I don't hear from you, I win. That's a perfectly legitimate procedure. You see that procedure by bill collectors. They'll send you 3 bills, and then they'll go to court. And they'll say, Your Honor, we sent them 3 bills. They didn't respond. They obviously owe it. They're just not paying. Make them pay. And the court says, okay, you win. Because they gave you notice, an opportunity to respond. You didn't respond. Therefore, you must agree with them. The government officials also have the due process right to demur to any and all statements of fact or law that you are asserting. What demur means is they come back and they say, I don't understand what you're saying. It's not clear. Would you please explain it in more detail? I need the following information before I can understand what it is you are trying to get across. That is a demur. They have the due process right to demur and say, we don't understand your position. Would you please give us more information? They also have the due process right to overtly write you a letter or an administrative judgment or whatever saying, we admit to all your facts. We admit that the law as you apply it is right. And therefore, you win. What do you want as a resolution? They may be offering money damages, curative damages where they'll fix a problem, removing liens and levies, removing restraints on property usages, many different things like that. They also have the due process right to not respond to any and all of your claims or your stated facts or allegations. However, by doing so, their own law binding on them says that if they do not respond, they agree with you. I get people coming to me all the time. Well, I sent the city a letter, I sent the county a letter, I sent the IRS a letter, and they never responded. My response to that is, where's your big smile? You just won. According to the Administrative Procedures Act, which they took an oath of office to be subject to, if they do not respond, they admit you are right. You may set the time frame for them to respond, or their statutes may set the time frame for them to respond. Either way, once the time is up, they have agreed with you if they do not respond. Take advantage of that. Don't keep thinking that you have to get something overt from them. It's not necessary. And many, many times, if you're following correct procedure, that is how you will win. However, they also have the due process right to present evidence to controvert the statements of fact and allegation or the claims of what law is applicable that you have presented. They can then come forth and say, well, based upon this law, it colors how that law has to be applied, so you're in error. They may controvert or disagree with certain specific facts that you assert and say, well, that's not what really happened. They have the due process right to disagree with you. Once you agree that you disagree and cannot come to an agreement on the underlying issue, you take that agreement of disagreement to the witnesses. Generally, with the federal government and most states, that witness is going to be what's called an administrative hearings officer or administrative law judge. This is going to be your second witness. Everybody presents their facts that they understand and the evidence to show that they're true, their allegations, their claims of law, to this witness and say, what do you think? The administrative hearings officer or administrative law judge will convene a hearing, will review all of the evidence presented, and make a finding of fact and conclusion of law, which means they have to go through and say, this party asserts these facts, this party asserts these facts, and we're finding that these are the facts of the case and picks out what sounds to them like what the facts really are when there are facts in dispute, based on their interpretation of the evidence presented in support of a particular given fact. The administrative hearings officer then also has to say, I believe that the following law is applicable because of the circumstances and explain that. Then they have to explain what their understanding of applying that law to the facts means as a final conclusion. Once they have done that, then you have an agreement that that's what the administrative hearings officer found, and you then have the due process right, as does your opponent, to disagree with that finding and take it to a judicial forum for another review to determine whether or not the administrative law judge, the administrative hearings officer, or whatever other administrative proceeding developed the finding of fact and conclusion of law, and to get a determination of whether they used the correct procedure or applied the law in the correct manner. That's still not final. The due process right also includes, upon entry of an administrative finding, the opportunity to ask for reconsideration, where you say, well, administrative law judge, administrative hearings officer, I understand that that's your understanding. However, based upon certain facts taken in a certain light, or certain law that you may not have taken into consideration, I think you need to reconsider and come to a different conclusion. Always give them the opportunity to fix what they broke by reconsidering. That's part of their due process right. And then from there, if you absolutely cannot get an agreement, then and only then do you have standing to invoke the judicial power of a court. Any court that is convened without prior administrative process is convened in an administrative capacity, and it is being the administrative law court at that time. You see this all the time in traffic court. There's just the judge, no jury, and the judge does everything, hears everything, and makes a decision. That is an administrative hearing. Washington law says if you want to seek damages, the Tort Claims Act, which is codified at RCW 4.92 and 4.96, provides that once you submit a claim for damages based on an allegation of wrongdoing which caused an injury or damage, that the state has 60 days to review that and get back to you. It also says that if they do not get back to you within that 60 days, they waive the sovereign immunity of the state and agree to be sued for your claims. It also provides that the official immunity of the officer is probably waived if the state does not come forth and say, no, they acted within the scope of their duties. The state of Washington may be liable for failure to prevent wrongful acts, and this is something else that you would need to put in your administrative process. To give you an idea of how powerful this is, when I've been in court, I've asked the judge questions about, I'm sorry, I haven't been presented any evidence of an administrative proceeding upon which this court's judicial power could be invoked. And the judge will turn to the attorney for the opposing party and say, do you have an administrative record? And the party will say, well, no, Your Honor, we just sued. And the judge will continue the case to give them an opportunity to do their administrative proceedings. Sometimes it's more difficult to do that where they're bringing criminal charges. However, again, if you ask the right questions, you can set the foundation to determine whether or not that judge is going beyond the scope of his authority in proceeding without the proper foundation.